Man, exciting things. Of course, I'm not going to tell you all the hardships and difficulties. I just share testimonies with you. But as you can imagine, there's many, all kind of obstacles. And it comes with the mission that we have in this world. And so, as you saw, even we were doing these meetings in parks and Muslims coming to here, people, you know, say, how can you do that in Iraq? Well, it is possible. It's possible. God, it's possible when we believe, you know. And he spoke that to us in 2014, when ISIS, the same summer, actually, right that in that time when ISIS came to Iraq, God moved on me and spoke to me when I was at home and told me, believe with me for a prayer movement. It was literally, you know, ISIS at that time was just an hour drive away. And a prayer movement, and that's how these 50 hours and 100 hours and momentum to worship and see God and just started happening. And at that same time, as God spoke to me at prayer movement, God moved on David. He is the other brother that me and him moved to Iraq together. David is from Chicago. And he moved on and gave him a dream, actually, and he saw stadiums. Stadiums in Iraq being filled with people, and there was a mixture of worship, prayer, and also preaching the gospel with, you know, power. And so we've been contending for that, and we're stepping out, and you saw this is just the beginning of, you know, in parks, and, you know, Muslims come and we pray for the sick, and many, you know, really testimonies, and Muslim women. I might say women, because you saw it, like a lot of them, they're, you know, widows, and it's really growing, and even, you know, the people that we're reaching out through our social media, most of them are young people. I'm going to tell you testimonies from that. Young people, like 18, 17, 18, in their 20s, most of them, and even more young girls, young ladies than guys. It's both, but girls more. And so we jokingly, David and I, we speak how, you know, this is growing. We said our women's ministry is growing really, we're doing really well. And we never thought we'll be just being like a, I don't know, like a Joyce Meyer or something, or Marilyn Hickey. But sometimes it feels like that. And these widows and these women, this just, and, you know, we just pray, just, you know, normal, what Jesus told us to do. And God's power starts moving on them, and they just start crying, and, you know, a deaf ear open in one city, and another one, a blind eye open, and many different things that happen that we don't even all know about. And they were just coming and crying. They says, you know, I don't know what is this, and they never felt God's power come on them. And this is happening in the streets, in parks. And also, in an exciting thing, news I've got to break, that just happened literally four weeks ago, it was right after we did this video, and I get to preach the gospel in a mosque. Yeah. And I'm still processing it, what happened. And literally, this was in an hour drive south of Baghdad, and an unreached city, unreached area. And there's no church, there's no mission going on. And you know, even when I told Iraqi believers in our city, some of them, that what we're going to do in this particular city, it's called Mahmoudiya, and they look at me like, they're like, you're going there? You know, it's one thing when Americans tell you going to Iraq, you know, but it's one thing when Iraqis tell you, you're going there. And they were like, there's ISIS in the area and all of this. And honestly, you know, the more they were telling me, like, you know, this is just, they call it the triangle of death. The triangle is because it's like three cities in that area, and they call it the triangle of death. And it's actually, if you Google it, you will find it. It's on Wikipedia. It's because so many American troops were killed there. And that is why it's known as the triangle of death. It's stronghold. And honestly, I personally believe that even that with all my heart. Now, I'm not going to into politics, but I believe those troops prepared the way. And what they did in their lives was not in vain. Before the fall of Saddam, what we're doing right now was not possible. Now, yes, after the U.S. invasion, the country is a complete mess. It's been for years with terrorism and all of this. But look what we're able to do. Right in that city where many American troops laid their lives. Now, it's very powerful when you think about it. A few years later, we're there, and I'm in a mosque preaching the gospel. For 20 minutes, it was full of people, maybe just over 100, 110, 120, something like this. Women, men, and children. For 20 minutes, I preached the gospel in there. Muslims deny that Jesus died on the cross, you know. They say he didn't die on the cross, whatever. So I, of course, I'm not going to beat around it. How can people be saved without that? Christ and him crucified. So, of course, I preached that. I made, you know. And so the guy in charge of the mosque, he started coming up like right up close in front of me and the translator. And, you know, he's a big guy, whatever. And he's just looking at me, you know, body language like he didn't like it. I know you probably question, how did you get in there, all of this? Maybe I tell you about that. He's just literally like staring in front of us, and, you know, people everywhere sitting down on the floor, and so I just look away and ignore him. Like, you know, I was not going to preach for very long. This is, you know, they're not used to that. You're in a mosque. So I had to keep it to point, to focus. And so he just, you know, just ignore it and just keep going. I was going to be short anyway. So, you know, and then, you know, right after I just finished preach, you know, full gospel. And then I told them, if you believe in this message that I just preached to you, if you believe that Christ is the only way and what he did on the cross is, you know, I just explained the gospel is to give you new life. And forgiven of your sin, I said, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to lead you to him. And I tell you, hands start going up all over the place in that mosque. I start leading them in a prayer. And the guy, as I'm leading in a prayer, the guy started coming up to the translator to basically, I'm pretty sure he was telling him to stop, tell him to stop. So I was almost done anyway. So I had this one opportunity. I was not going to stop short. And so we did it, and then, you know, you thank him, you honor him, and all these things, and they like it, whatever. And so, right outside the mosque, I have a few photos on my phone and stuff, but, I mean, they're taking Bibles just from the trucks. So if you want to know how, I'll tell you just a little briefly. We help widows and orphans, as you hear, and this, just I said in the video, it's opening doors for us. So that's what we did. We through connections and people that are Muslims that are willing to help. They're like, if you can help any of these widows, they're, you know, poor, and we're like, okay, we can do that. We'd love to do that, but we are Christians and we want to share a message, a short message, and pray for the sick. So as you tell these families to come, tell them that we will share a short message and bring the sick. And then at the end, if they want a Bible, they can take it. But they don't have to. So we tell the people that are organizing and all of this to let people know what they're coming in for. So they don't feel we trap them. We're going to help them and give them food, and then they find this. Like, no, they know ahead what they're coming for. Of course, they never heard the gospel. But they know that we Christians are going to give a message and pray for the sick. Today's Sunday, Wednesday, my team is going to be in 2 or 3 mosques in Iraq in just a few days, this coming Wednesday. Yeah. They're going to be in a mosque I don't know who's out there, but I won't say the city. But anyways, it's in a city that's over 5 million people. There's 2 small churches. I was in a church there, 15 people there. The pastor told me maybe there are 100 believers in that whole city of 5 million people. I was honestly overwhelmed with the need. And it's hot. You know how much, what the temperature is going to be on Wednesday when the team is going to be there? 120. It's no joke. Even the pastor tells me, like, he says, you know, there's no green. It's so hot and so dry. And you know, when it's, you know, we take things for granted. You don't see grass. It gets to you, you know, it's just like, and even he says, like, you don't hear birds here. Yeah. So that's one reason why it's so unreached. So anyways, may God, even I'd like to at some point, maybe, I don't know, we'll pray just for that on Wednesday, that God would demonstrate, man, just give, that there will be much grace and much power demonstrated and the church will grow. Amen. And so as I mentioned, as I mentioned in the video, exactly a month and a half before COVID came. We didn't know that what was coming, but we launched this Facebook and Instagram page. We actually have Facebook and Instagram in Arabic, and then we have Facebook in another language, Kurdish, because Kurds are in the north. So we do everything double or more over there. Even our visas, we deal with two governments in Baghdad and in the north with the Kurds. Or to go from one state to the other, you need access letters. It's so complicated. You don't even know because you'll get dizzy listening. but with both governments, access letters and offices we have in the Baghdad and in the north, and translators and Facebook, everything is just double. but a lot of work, but you get to reach more people. So we did this. We knew that social media is one way that we also need to reach people and get to them. But finally we had some help that we could do that. And so a month and a half later, COVID hit, and it was perfect timing, you know, because lockdown, we were in lockdown there as well for over 2 months or 3 months or something like this. And, you know, so everybody's just at home doing nothing, you know, just on their phones. So we were just, you know, you graphic, just as you saw in the video, just, you know, scriptures and comments with it, and it just goes into right into their phones. We pay some money, a little bit on each post, and you pick the city and the age, just like advertising. But we use God's word, and it just goes. And I tell you, so many Muslims are connecting with us in many cities that we have not been able to go to yet. And we are reaching them through this social media, and one reason this is so effective even there, because over 60% of the population of Iraq is under the age of 25. That's a lot of young people. So that's why I didn't know I was going to end up being like a pastor, a youth pastor, a children's pastor at the same time, and honestly, even a nursery worker. Because some of them behave like babies, but so it's all of it at the same time. It's sometimes with the same person. You go from a pastor to youth with children. Anyways, and of course they use the social media, and we have we're putting a team, and we're seeking continually to grow our team. You know how much, I tell you we pay per post to reach people? Maybe $15 or $20. And so many Muslims, you know, they start getting it and respond and reply. Of course, a lot of curses and angry and all cussing and a lot of that. But then you get to find people also that are seeking. And I'm going to read quotes directly from these Muslims that are giving their life through Jesus as they connect online and what they're saying. So you get to hear it's translated. Of course, we deleted all the cussing, so you don't hear any of that. You just hear the good part. I spent a couple of days going through so many testimonies and picking ones to share with you. So we don't have enough, really, even we call them moderators that answer, that sometimes I have to pull back and spend less because we won't be able to keep up with replying to them. So, I will read I will read some of them. I won't mention their name, but I tell you a little about the age. Most of them, most of these are girls. So are you ready? This is, again, of course, translated into English, but things they are saying. Tell me about, so this one, it's a 17-year-old girl. Tell me about Christianity. I am very excited to know more about Jesus. I want to be a Christian. Her last name is, my middle name is Muhammad. So this is, they're all Muslims, by the way. I want to get to know Christian people. Where can I find a Bible? I want to know how to pray. Thank you for correcting my wrong beliefs. An 18-year-old girl. I want to understand how Jesus is God. You forgive ISIS after all they did to Christians? How can this be? ISIS kidnapped and killed many of my relatives. I see now what is right between Islam and Christianity. Can you tell me more about Jesus from the Bible? Can you tell me how I can pray? What do Christians do when they meet together at the church? They want to know, what do you do? What is the meaning that Jesus is the Lamb of God? I am at the stage of searching for truth. Send me a Bible. I will read and I will send you questions. And then later she said, how can I follow Jesus? This one, she is 23 years old. I was motivated to search about Christianity because Islam forces violence on women and permits lying. Islam permits husbands to hit their wives and permits brothers to hit their sisters. This is all true. I do not want my daughters to grow up in this way. What does the Bible say about husbands? What does the Bible say about adultery? This one, she is 27 years old. She said, I want to be a Christian. How can I be a Christian? I had a dream and a man in the form of light gave me bread and said, this is a gift from Jesus. I told him, but I'm a stranger. The man told me, because he loves you. And then she says, I want my two sons to follow Jesus. Later on, she said, Jesus set me free from sin and I hate Islam. This one, she is 23 years old. How can I join Christianity and be one of Jesus' followers? A few days later, she said, I had three dreams of Jesus. This time I heard Jesus' voice in a dream. In the dream, I was afraid from life after death and the torment of the grave as I learned before Islam. But I heard from Jesus personally, directly. He said, blessed is she who believes in me. Therefore, I will not perish and I will not experience torment. A month later, she says, I am very grateful for grace and faith. I was blind, but now my eyes are open to Jesus. I have found the true God. And then, yeah, she's joined. These are joining our classes, you know, in multiple cities. We bring them in, it's a Facebook private groups. You know, on Facebook, there's many groups that are private. And so we bring them. We have a group for girls, we have a group for guys, and a group for Kurds, yeah. This one is 18 years old from a city called Karbala. It's all Shia. She said, my parents are Muslims, but I don't believe in Islam. Islam does not make sense. Amen. It doesn't. At first, I was atheist, but in the last few months, I started to believe that there is a God. Then when I started searching about the true God, and when I heard about Jesus and all he did on the cross, I realized that I was lost. Then I found him. I don't deserve to be a Christian, but I want to know what I need to do next. How can I join a church? Can you tell me how to pray? I now believe that God is my father and I am his daughter. You will notice how many of them, they start asking about how do I pray from the very beginning. Many of them, they want to know how we pray before even become believers. Because Islam is, you know, the praying the five times a day, praying is so much in their culture. Of course, it's not really praying. It's reciting same things over and over, and they have no connection with God. But they know it's not. Prayer is something so normal that faith, they know if there's faith, there's got to be prayer to God. So they want to know, what do you do? How do you pray? It's amazing. This one. So, this one, She's a mother, and she started messaging us, same thing, on Facebook, and was asking us to pray for her daughter, who was demon-possessed. It's very normal there, demons, and so it's not something foreign or abnormal. In fact, many of them have demons, and when it gets severe cases, they take them to the mosque. And the imam, or, you know, the leader of the mosque, they try to cast out the demons from them. Of course, how can they do that? And you know what they do? It's actually a lot worse than I'm going to tell you, but they start using a stick and beat them. I know, it's terrible. They try to beat the demons out. And of course, it's trauma, it's fear, and guess what? More demons, more spirits are going to come. It's horrible. In fact, one young man that's also in our city, he connected, same thing on our page. His father, he's from an Islamic city. His father, they started teaching his dad to memorize the Quran at the age of 6 years old. Very Islamic family. They're all mullahs, like in charge of mosques, and they're his relatives. So this young man grew up in that culture, very passionate about Islam, and he was memorizing as well, and he started getting trained how to debate Christians, how to defend Islam. And one of the best from Saudi Arabia, and he's getting trained and using our original scrolls to debate Christians. So the more he started digging deep, and I met him, he started telling me my faith started to be shaken. I started to realize that Islam does not have a solid foundation. There's a lot of contradictions. There's nothing solid on it, you know. And then he says, I started to look at these original scrolls of our scriptures. And I started to see that it's all matches. And that Christianity had a, it's powerful. Christianity has a solid foundation. And so then, oh yeah, and he says, the more I started reading, I felt I've been drawn in. You know, the words of Jesus, he says, I started feeling this something inside, this peace that I was just drawn to it, and more and more I wanted it. You know, and he says, I believed in Jesus. And he says, and I gave him my life. He said, it's not because I was convinced that Islam is wrong and Christianity is true. He says, I gave him my life because he came to me. Yeah, he had a dream too. And so, I just met him just like about a month before I traveled to come here. And he lives in our city, and that's why I just thought of him. Ramadan was like in April. And his father noticed that he's not doing the Muslim prayers like he should. He took him, you know, his dad told him, you must have a Christian demon or a Jewish demon. Whatever that means. So we are always the problem, you know. And so he took him to the mosque to get these demons out. Same, beating him to get demons out. But this particular imam started hitting him on his chest, where his heart is. He's thinking the closest to his heart, maybe, you know, you get really the demons out. So even when I met him, he's got fear. I meet him literally. We're sitting in the car talking for a couple hours. And I could see even under his shirt, one side was swollen from that. And then next time I see him, just changing color, it's a bruise. So anyways, this is what, yeah. So this, what they do. So this Muslim mother, she was desperate. She kept asking us to please pray for my daughter. Would you, you know, and it's not that we didn't want to. You know, there's many people to visit and, you know, so many things to do. And even to go and visit her, we needed a girl, a believer, to come with us. But finally we made it. And I tell you, she was very persistent, this mother. I believe it was her faith that got us there and got this miracle. So we showed up at her house. Yeah, we sit in the front room on the floor. The mother, the father, and they brought their daughter. They had other children, but they just brought her daughter in this room. Head covered, normal. And she's afraid. She's very afraid of what's going to happen. But she was looking forward in the same time. So we started sharing the gospel. David started sharing that when, in the beginning. And so as he's sharing, of course, he's mentioned the cross. The father responds right away. He says, no. Jesus did not die on the cross. And we told him, no, he did. And you know, pretty much we're telling him, like, you need to slow down. If you want us to help your daughter, just stay quiet. So we finished sharing. As soon as we finished sharing, the daughter, right away, she said to her parents, I want to be a Christian. Before we got to pray for her, I want to be a Christian. Boldly like this to her dad. And so I looked at her father and I told him, what do you think about this? You know what he said to me? He said, I want evidence. I want proof. He says, if Jesus can set her free, then you can have her and you can make her a Christian and she can follow Jesus. I told him that's a deal. And it, you know what? That is true. We are glad that, you know, when he set them, like, he's setting himself up. You know, that should be, there should be proof. There should be evidence, right? In Acts 1:8, it says, you know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Witnesses are proof providers. We give proof of Jesus, of that he's risen, that he's the truth. We give them proof. So when he's asking proof, you know, we thought, thank you, Jesus, that he's smart enough to do. Because he says, we've taken her to mosques. We've taken her to these mullahs. He says, they're all liars. Yeah. And so, and by the way, even I didn't forget about this. They do witchcraft too. They do witchcraft. He brought in the house a paw of a wolf. On a stick, you know, like he was, you know, just the witchcraft. They do this. Anyways, they don't talk about that a lot, but they do that. So we told them, we finished, and we said, we're going to pray for her. And as soon as we started praying, you know, at first her father was just like, you know, he was just like, his eyes all open really big and staring at his daughter to see what was going to happen. There was no major manifestations, which it doesn't really matter. I mean, it was just this severe headache started to come all of a sudden, and she's really afraid. So as we continued to pray, the presence of God started coming in that room. As her father started, I started to notice he started to relax. And then he sits back down. The more we continue to pray, the peace of God just came strong and just resting in that place. He leaned his head against the wall. After a couple of minutes, I start to see tears rolling down his face. As we continue to pray, then all of a sudden, he just broke down sobbing. You know, as a father, the weight and, you know, for their daughter and feeling like, could this be it? You know, in the presence of God. And so the story goes, after we left, the mother says, for the first time in our life, peace came to our home. Love came to our home. Now, both the mother and the daughter, they're believers in Jesus. They're just getting discipled. They connect with us online, even the classes. And they're reading the Bible. The daughter, she's addicted to the Bible. You know, she's reading the Bible. She puts the Bible under her pillow. She listens to audio Bible all the time. And praise Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you just a couple more. This one is, her name is, yeah, Sarah. She's 20 years old. She's very bold, this one. She's something. Let's see. She sends us scriptures daily. Okay, so these are some of the things she said. I am convinced to be a Christian without seeing a dream or a vision. She says, I am no longer a slave. By the way, this girl, 20 years old, she told her family. She says, I am no longer a slave. I am God's daughter and I am glad I am one of his sheep. I know God loves me and wants me to worship him. I do not want to hurt his heart. This girl that was a Muslim, she got so much revelation, more than many even believers I know. You know, she knows that sin actually hurts God's heart. She says, why all these years I did not know the truth? I used to pray as a duty only. Now she says, I feel guilty because I'm not baptized yet, but I believe God will give me the opportunity. I will fast with Jesus as he did many years. I love this. And she did. She says, I want to fast with him. She sees her life is like with Jesus. And she did for 40 days. She says, I will fast with him. She says, I feel I am born again with a new life. My sister told me, I feel you became pure. I know he chose me from the beginning and revealed himself to me in different ways. I love speaking to him directly. I am very grateful for the discipleship classes. I mentioned your, she says, I memorized 4 worship songs in my heart. I feel that I'm a new person. When I speak with God, he listens to my prayers. I'm not talking to a statue. He's the only God that helped me in time of grief. I like to call him Jehovah. Because Muslims distorted the picture of God. Because you know, the Arabic word for God is Allah. And when the Muslims use it, and the Christians, it's in the Bible. The Arabic word for God is Allah. And so, of course, it's not the word used, Allah. Then what's the nature of that God? Of course, the nature of the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. But they use the same word. So you have to explain. That's why we teach and preach and what the nature of God is like. Because I'm saying God, they're thinking what they're used to. So that's why she says, I don't want to call him Allah. I want to call him Jehovah. She says, because Muslim distorted the picture of God. Last one. So this one, she's 50 years old. She connected on social media also. And she is so bold. She says, I feel many years are wasted. I did not know the difference between what is truth and false. I love Jesus because I found peace. I would like to know everything about Jesus. She says, I want to learn how to pray like you. I want to get a Bible, but it is hard to find a Bible in Mosul. I am thankful that you are willing to bring me a Bible. I am crying right now. I mean, she was so excited. Waiting for this day to have a Bible, she was like crying about it with joy. I never seen a Bible in my whole life. I pray that my dream will come true, that I will visit a church one day. We take things so for granted, don't we? These Muslims are getting saved. They just long for a day, especially these single girls. They can't just like our daughters and girls, they can't just go with a friend or get in the car and go attend the meeting. They can't do that. They can't just leave the house on their own like that. Like, do you know how many times we visit these cities and we message and they were trying to find a moment that they can somehow, we can meet them somewhere. And sometimes, especially with the girls, it's so difficult because they can't just leave the house on their own. Yeah, we don't know. But you believe me, we face so many practical challenges like this that we're continually asking God, help us. How are we going to do this? And even me as a spiritual father, I'm thinking, all these girls, you know, and these guys, they need to get married. You know, like, how is this going to happen? Like, you know, I don't want their parents to force them to marry a Muslim young man. I have, you know, my daughter, she's 13 years old. You know, my son is 15. I think about these things. You know, now we're... It's like we're spiritually adopt these people. I'm thinking, God, I want to see them, you know, like happy, married. But it's, anyway, so there's, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need wisdom. They need prayers. And so anyway, so this woman, she said, crying right now, yeah, I pray that my dream come true to see visit a church one day. All of us need Jesus, but in Mosul, no one is guiding us. Mosul is in Nineveh. She said this, the people of Nineveh are ignorant. She's saying this about her own people. She says, all nations should know Jesus as the Lord, and I want to spread his love to them. She's attending the classes. Yeah. And so, and then a few weeks later, she says, she told us this, I was praying and asking Jesus to reveal himself to me. A few days later, after she was praying that, she said, I had a dream, and this is in her own words. I had a dream, and I saw a man standing beside a river, and he told me, I am Jesus, whom you are seeking and praying to. That's encouraging, right? You're praying, and then like, he just comes to you in a dream next to a river, and he tells you, I'm he. You're praying to me. I mean, it's thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, before we went to Iraq in 2011, on the first trip, I was in Oklahoma visiting a church. And maybe I said this before here. But it was after a first visit to Iraq. And I came with testimonies and I came excited. And so this older lady, she came up to me and she said, that's wonderful what God did in Iraq, but don't go and live there now. Of course, I didn't listen. And I didn't rebuke her. You know, she's an older woman. And I definitely felt like it. But in my mind, I was thinking like, okay, I understand where she's coming from. She's probably thinking, you know, don't take your family there. But the truth is, I don't relate to that. And I don't ever want to relate to that. I'm thinking, who are you? You know, it's a precious lady, but what she said wasn't precious. You know, and I'm thinking, who are you? Like, are you Lord? Don't go and live there now. Like, this is the problem. What many in the church, you know, in the church, like, it's like, I know better. Like, oh yeah, yeah. You know better than God. We know better than God. You don't do that. Like, no, no. He gave us a command, right? He gave us a command to go into all the world. That is the very last words he gave us. And then we're going to come walking around and say, no, don't go and do that. Like, who are you? You have a better plan, you know, how to save the world from your little town and from your house. You know, like how is this going to happen? You know, and because, you know, one reason is this. As you know, we get so easily influenced by media. You know, we get easily influenced by what the news tell us and what politicians says. It is embarrassing. It's embarrassing how much the church is so moved and make decisions based of lies through the internet and TV and convinces them. It is a shame, you know, rather than being moved by truth, you know, and being moved by God's voice and acting on that. Very quiet. So now what do you tell? I know I want to see this lady and, you know, and telling all these stories and testimonies. What are we going to tell those girls that believed? And those ones are getting healed. And in the mosque, they were raising their hands and saying, I want to believe in Jesus. What are we going to say? Don't go and live there now. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. We don't know better than Jesus. He has a plan, and he's a father who loves. And you know what? Just as I told them in that mosque 4 weeks ago, I told them, I said, your life is important. I told them, we are all equally valuable to God. And they're all listening. I says, it doesn't matter which country, because, you know, they're thinking Americans are here. I told them, it doesn't matter which country we come from. We are equally valuable to God because we are all made in his image. I told him, it doesn't matter how much money you have and don't have. It doesn't matter who you know or you don't know. You know, I was just telling them this. I said, we are equally, you and I, equally important. God knows the details about you. And now they're just like listening. And that is the truth. He loves them. It's just no matter how dark or they don't know or deceived, they are as equally valuable as my own children, you know. You know, as the closest ones that they are to me, equally important. And God gives us this love. He gives us this his heart that he shares with us. But again, we can't just be influenced by the ways of the world and what unbelievers say and media says. We can't afford to do that because we have one life to live. And the word of God, brothers and sisters, is I want to stir your heart with just a few things before I conclude, that the God's word is full of promises, full of it. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world to all as a witness, he says, to all nations, and then the end will come. That means we as a church, we have a responsibility to do that so that the end will come, so that Jesus will return. And what else? Another promise in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. It's, you know, the last, there at the end of the Old Testament. Malachi 1:11. It says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be famous or great among the nations. It says, for incense will rise and a pure offering in every place. For my name will be great among the nations. It says that from the rising of the sun to its setting, all day long, you know, my name will become famous. That's a prophecy. His name will be famous. That's, we're talking about a world harvest in the last days. And he said, incense will rise. That's not referring to the Catholic incense, you know. It's referring to our worship, people adoring God, the prayers, people believing, calling on Him. It says incense and pure offering will rise in every place. In every place. You know what that means? It means places also that we are not invited. It means places that we are not welcomed. But Jesus invites us. And that's why we go. That's why it's, and wherever we live, you live, it's in every place. It's a promise that we are to contend for that. And we act and do our part to see that come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk 2:14, it says, but the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. It will be filled. The earth will be filled. You talk, think about that. With the knowledge of the Lord. His word, we, the church, are going to spread His word throughout the world. You know, we're going to spread His word. His word is going to spread like fire. And that is why, as we, you know, do the social media, and, you know, and that's one way. And we send His word, it will spread. You saw us on the streets there, in mosques, and even that brother David that was translating for us, we traveled together, and, you know, we're in restaurants, everybody's going to get a Bible. You know, we're in a mall, he goes right up to first to the security, and, you know, and checkpoints, he goes to the army, he just gives him Bibles. And its word will spread. He says the earth will be filled, and you know what? You and I are responsible to fill it. To fill it with His word. So it doesn't matter. Look, people are going to get upset. People are going to get upset. People are going to say stuff. So what? You know, a big deal. People are going to get angry. So what? Let them get angry. I'm used to it. But, and you do, you will get used to it. And then it's just like, so what? A big deal. But you know what? And then, but you're going to catch some fish. Then you're going to catch some fish. Then you're going to see some people. Then some people are going to tell you, pray for me. Help me. We will make His name famous. And these few things that were on my heart literally this morning, just even a few minutes, there was just, I had to write them down as I was thinking about our time and praying about our time together and about these promises that promises, okay, for the gospel to the nations, but promises for here, for you. Words that you've received, things that you felt from God in your heart. Promises that apply to every single believer, such as, go, I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's a promise. Just as a promise is like, if you believe in me, rivers will flow out of your life. Rivers, he says, if you believe in me, rivers of living water will flow from you. Yeah, that's a promise. We are to want to see that hunger, to see that happen. It's, and other promises, if you believe in me, he says, you will do my works and greater. I even as I was growing, I'm thinking, I don't know what that means and how much and great, you know, but we keep following him and we keep believing greater works. We can't just read and thinking that's nice and, oh, well, and look at me, but I feel I'm far from that. No, you're not far from that. You are not far from seeing that, if you are not. If you are, let's believe for more. You are not far. Jesus is not far. He wants 100% of our lives. That's what he wants. One, when that, the more that happens, and we do that daily, then yeah, it's going to, then he will take us seriously. And he will get and confirm his word. He said, you know, go, basic things, cast demons out. Pray, heal the sick, heal the sick. When you go into a city, heal the sick there. Where you live, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. These are promises. And you know, I want to read something to you from Hebrews 11. To see God's promises come to pass, whether it's prophecies or promises, there has to be focus. Even God, in the New Testament, it tells us to wage war with these prophecies. We contend. We even wrestle with God in prayer for these promises and prophecies. God, I want to see it. Again, you can't just look at promises and just read it and move on for our life as normal. We can't do that. Are you still with me? Yeah? I'm going to give you some things I believe would be stirring and helpful. We are to want these promises really bad. That's what it takes, is real desire. And again, I remind you, one life to live is all we have. And in the book of James, it says, what is your life but a vapor or a mist? It's what is your life? It's just like a mist. It comes and it goes so fast. And this mist, our short life in this, we want to hold on to dear so much. He says, no, it's going to pass. Therefore, let's live it to the full. Jesus, in his physical body, in his earthly ministry, when he's on the earth, he did not live a long life, you know. He lived a short life, up to his early 30s. But he lived a full life. It was full. It was full of God's purpose for him, why he came to this world. It was full of it. And therefore, even us, now yes, there's promises of long life, and we are to desire that, but even more we are to desire full life. I desire a full life more than a long life. Now yes, I want to see my children grow. These are normal things that every one of us, even around the world, have these desires, and it's normal to do that, but Jesus instructs us, don't live in a way to save your life. He says, no, if you lose it, you're going to find it. You're going to find the God life. Your life is going to be full of my plan and my purposes. That's how Jesus lived. And he is our model, full of God's purposes. Amen? And so therefore, to see promises fulfilled and prophecies that as a church or as an individual or as a family, we are to be focused on that. We are to have a determination to see them come to pass, to not allow ourselves to be discouraged or forget or, you know, or lose heart. No, we are to be determined. We are to have real hunger for that, to see it come to pass. Also, to see promises and come to pass, these words, we are to persist and persevere and faith and have faith to obtain these promises. Believing. Let's go real quick. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. You know this chapter. Men and women of faith. I'm going to go Hebrews 11 from verse 33. Are we going to... You're going to pull it up? Or yes, you got it. From verse 33. Who through faith conquered kingdoms. These are through faith. These are men and women like us. They have desires and they have tastes. Like normal people like us, through faith, they conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. We are to enforce justice. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lions. All of this true faith. Quenched the power of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness. Became mighty in war through faith. Put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Wow. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. 37. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commanded through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. Depart from us, they should not be made perfect. They're waiting for us to finish, to receive their full reward. Chapter 12, therefore since we are surrounded, let's read till verse 2. Therefore since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So powerful. It gives a list. These are men and women, through faith, what they were able to persevere and press through, what had happened to them through faith. And one of the things that it says there, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world could not relate to them. We are to be like that. The world should not be worthy of us. We are a different breed of people. We should live in such a way and speak in such a way and the fruit in such a way in our lives that the world will look and see they cannot relate to us. We should be that different. The way we speak, the fruit in our lives, the way we make decisions, what we stand for. It says the world was not worthy of them. As Pastor Tim was sharing earlier, I was reminded also of what Moses said in Exodus chapter 33 when he was talking about the presence of God. What separates us from the rest of the people is God with us, is the presence of God. That's what Moses said in Exodus 33, verse 15. It says, he said, if your presence will not go with me, he told God, do not bring me up from here. For how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight? Is it not by your going with us so that we are distinguished, your people and I, from all the other people on the face of the earth? And so I was saying, what's going to separate us? He told God, the only thing that's going to separate us from the rest of the people is you with us. Is your power with us? Is your spirit with us? How will they know we are your people unless you're with us? The world was not worthy of them. The world should not be worthy of us. Hallelujah. We are to be set apart for God. That's what it means to be holy. Yes, it's not like covering their heads and all this. No, to be holy, it means to be set apart for God. To set apart for His purpose. So when someone says, he's really holy, she's really holy. Really what that is that person is really set apart for God to do His will and to follow Him. That's what it means to be holy. And therefore, then when we are set apart to do His will, then how we treat our bodies, what we do with our money and everything, it's going to come out of that place because we're set apart for Him. In 1 Corinthians 6, in 2 Corinthians 6, did I bring it, mention it to you? In 2 Corinthians 6, yeah, let's read it. When then, as workers together with him also, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. I want you to pause there for a minute. We have the grace of God with us. God's grace is given to us. We're saved because of grace. You are here this morning because God's grace has been available for you. His ability, God's grace is God's ability with you to do what you can't do on your own. We have God's grace. And you know what? There's more grace available than we realize. My wife didn't think that she could live in Iraq. My wife is from Rhode Island. Rhode Island is very different from Iraq. She didn't think she could do it. Her first year was, she said, the hardest year of her life. I thought my wife was going to lose her mind. I never seen my wife like that. She was afraid to drive where we lived because it's the way they drive, it's something else. She was afraid to do that. She couldn't understand people. She was, when we lived here in America, you know, she had her own car. She got in it whenever she needed to go to the mall, take the kids or whatever. She did it. It was easy. Now we're in Iraq and she felt all her freedom is gone. She felt all her freedom is gone and she felt like she's in a jail at the house. Anyways, it's not to tell us we're so special, but we persevered because we had promises. We persisted. We stayed focused. We believed. It's true faith. And you know what? God's grace was available. We humbled ourselves. We asked God for help. Thank God we had a team. We were able to encourage one another. And now the children look forward to go back after a couple of months. Of course, they're going to enjoy doing different fun things. But then we'll head back. Usually after 2 months, they're ready to go back home. It's our home now. It's where we live. We have God's grace. You have grace. And you won't really know how much of grace of God you have until you just go for it and persevere. His grace is available. Paul said, you did not receive. He said, do not receive God's grace in vain. Don't waste it. Next verse. For he says, in acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have no offense in anything, but our ministry may not be blamed. Okay? But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as this being deceived and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and being, behold, we live, chastened and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. All Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to you as children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Don't mix. See, God doesn't like mixture. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. He's talking about the world, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You can keep it there. Wow. We are a different breed of people. We are the ones who persevere and persist through difficulties, through hardships. Why? To obtain God's promises. And just as it says here, come out from among them. Be separate. We cannot. We have to completely, to see God's promises, for Him to really reveal Himself and an experience of Him being a Father to us, He says, come out from among them. Be separate, completely disconnect from the world. Amen? Amen? So we can see what He's promised you come to pass. Be separate. And then His grace, and don't let that God's grace in vain. And there's grace, so we are able to do many things that we don't think we can. Oh, I can't do that. No, yes, it's possible. Why? Because it's not you. My wife didn't, again, she didn't know she could do that. Well, thank God. His grace is given to us. We are people of God's grace. His ability is with us. That's why we are able to do things that we can't do. Amen? Also, to obtain, you know, these promises for your own life. I was mentioning about being, you know, being separate from the world and being perseverant. Being focused, self-control. I'm just going to read the 2 Timothy 4. It says, you, however, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. It's okay, you don't have to pull up. Fulfill your ministry. It says, be sober-minded. Have self-control. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, prepare your minds for action. Sounds like we're in a war. We are. Prepare your minds for action. Again, and be sober-minded. Clear. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. Set yourself, your hope fully on the grace of God. Prepare your minds for action. Yes, the Bible calls us soldiers. Amen. God reminds me of a missionary called C.T. Studd. He had a message, and he called it chocolate soldiers. And he says, many Christians are like chocolate soldiers. They are sweet. They look pretty. But they can't handle the heat. He said they melt and they crack very easily. And then he goes on to say, God is not a manufacturer of chocolate. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We don't want to be chocolate soldiers. Take that with you today. And that's, you know, we're sweet and nice and all of that and, you know, and all pretty. But we can't handle, you know, these any obstacles or difficulties in life. Please, brothers and sisters, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world. You know, even you know, I don't need to get into it. Even obstacles from government and laws and rules. These things, these been happening in other countries for many years, you know. But we are to stand. We are to endure. We are to look for the promises of God, because you know what? Though the darkness will get darker, the light is going to shine brighter. And we're going to demonstrate God's power. You're going to demonstrate more and more. You're going to shine so brightly. You're going to demonstrate who Jesus is. I prophesy, I speak this over you. You're going to have boldness that you've never had before. You're going to have courage that you never had before. You're going to be able to do things you never thought you are able to do. It doesn't matter, even maybe you say, well, not as young as I used to. I tell you, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is available for you. You will be able. It's a matter of believe. Stay separate from the ways of the world. Disattach completely of its ways. Amen. And persevere. Have self-control and faith. It says these men and women, it's true faith. True faith. They conquered kingdoms. True faith, they obtained promises. It's many times it's explained, faith is the arm that reaches out to the promises of God and brings it. Whether it's for provision, whether it's for healing, whether if it's for your family, whatever, you know, for your a plan, God's plan for your life, it's faith, it reaches out, it's believing. You don't see it, but you are convinced it's true. You are convinced it's for you, and that's what takes it and brings it to your life. It's faith. It's just faith is the believing that brings it into pass. Yes, it's through faith they stop the mouths of lions. It's through faith they were made strong out of weakness. Yeah. Amen. It's through faith that out of your weakness you become strong in God. Faith in God, believing that you will be strong, believing. Amen. Through faith, they became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Faith is knowing God. Faith is simply you know Him. You know Him to be true. You know His character. You know Him. You know He doesn't change. You know that He is true and everything else is a lie. You know that He is love. You know He is merciful. You know He is a God of abundant life, and from Him flows healing and provision. You just confirm, you know Him. You know He doesn't change His mind. You know that He is for you. You know He is with you. That faith is knowing Him and knowing His character. Remember, great faith. I'm going to finish with this. You know, the two times Jesus mentioned great faith in the scriptures. You know, Jesus came first to the Jew. And the two times that Jesus says you have great faith, they were not Jews. They persevered. They believed. And Jesus, like, fast forward to answer them. Even though they were not Jews. He came to the Jew first. But because of their faith, He went fast forward. Wow. That one of them was the centurion. He was a Roman soldier. You know the story, he had men under him. And that's in Matthew 8. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say it. When Jesus heard this, He was amazed and said to those following Him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Wow. We can believe like that. Jesus, you said it. Settles it. That settles it. I just remembered years ago, my mom used to have this magnet. He said it. The word says it. It settles it. Something like that. And if He said it for something about you, for me, greater works, the sick, that's it. Doubt your doubts. You know, just trust His word more than your past experience. His word is what doesn't change. Experiences change, feelings change, bodies change, people change. His word doesn't. The other person that Jesus says great faith, it was a Canaanite woman. Also, she was a Gentile from Canaan. And her daughter was demon-possessed. Just like that Muslim woman a few months ago in Baghdad. She didn't know the story, but that's what she did. She persisted. I mean, I remember. We even were in that city a couple of times, and we couldn't find a believing girl that she could speak both Arabic and English to come with us to go to her house. That's one of the reasons we couldn't get there and all of that. It's a little far. And anyway, but she persisted. Come and pray for my daughter. Come. Please come. When are you coming? Come. When are you coming? Come. I mean, she kept asking, come pray for my daughter. And then her daughter is free. And then for the first time, she told us, peace came to our home. It was a Canaanite woman. She wanted her daughter free. And you know the story. The disciples like, she's like, I'm coming. I'm coming. I want it. Jesus, you know the story, pretty much told her, we don't give bread to dogs. She's like, so what? I'll be a dog. I'll take it. It didn't, her daughter's freedom was more important. It was more important than what her being told that she's a dog. She didn't care. So what? She loved her daughter. She was desperate. She believed. And that's what she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. I want to leave you with this. And then just simply, I'm hoping, I'm sure you were encouraged by what Jesus is doing, even in a country like Iraq, among Muslims. Now there are millions, so much more needs to happen. And we're praying, you know, God to pour out His Spirit. And to laborers and, you know, so many. The Great Commission around the world, so much. You know, the fastest, the church that's actually growing is the Spirit-filled church. They're the ones, we're the ones that are seeing people come and believe. It's the Holy Spirit with us. It's okay for our non-Spirit-filled brothers and sisters. You know, but the Holy, it's okay, as a man of God said one time, he says, it's okay, we're from the same kingdom, just different neighborhood. Anyways, so as the Spirit-filled church, it's God's Spirit, it's His power, it's His ability that's going to help us and it will help you. And I want to leave this with you, just here where you are, and remind you again, one life you have. And it's not yours. You've been bought with a price. It belongs to Jesus. Your time, it belongs to Jesus. Your body, it belongs to Jesus. If not, you can make that decision today, if you're not. He is Lord. It is not just Savior that came to save. He is Lord. He leads. He's ruling. His loving rule, we called the kingdom, is being advancing in the world. And He's invited you and me to join Him in advancing it. His grace is sufficient. Do not receive God's grace in vain. You are able to do it. You have promises. Again, I've really felt this for you this morning. You have promises. You've received the words. We obtain them through faith. Persevere. Stay focused. Shake off discouragement. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. If you're discouraged, shake it off. If you're distracted for any reason, you know, we have many distractions. We've got to make some steps and decisions to shake those off. Disappointments. We have to overcome that. Because there's so much available for you to do, to accomplish with God. You see, these men and women that we read about, it's true faith. They conquered. They overcame. They did not love their lives even unto death. We're going to all stand before Him, brothers and sisters. We're going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to see these men and women that we read about. You're going to hear their story in heaven. You're going to hear stories of missionaries. You're going to hear stories of the apostles. You know, we're going to hear your story. You're going to hear all of us here. We're going to hear all of our stories. Again, that's real. I want to hear you. We want to hear good stories of what in your life. You believe in God and persevering. Brothers and sisters, let's even whatever time we have left in this world, let's, like the Bible says, let's run our race with endurance. That we may by faith obtain these promises. So that we are to set our minds on the things of above. Books are being written, it tells us, in the book of Revelation. Not just the book of life. Books are being written. Your stories, my life, your life. Come on. Let's persevere. Let's persist. Obtain promises for God to pour His Spirit. Hallelujah. Eva, I want to just, even as we conclude this evening, I mean this morning, and if you are sick in any way in your body, I would like to lay hands and pray for you. Really, I would like to do that. If there's anything that maybe you feel, pray for me. I want to overcome this. I want to also, as we open up front here, we want to pray with you. If you haven't surrendered truly, and God is speaking to you this morning and here on Father's Day, you want to make that true decision. I want to cross that line and truly surrender my life and be a disciple. I want to be just as a disciple of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, just I made that decision years ago, and I said, Jesus, I want to be another disciple. I want to be a student, your student. I want to show the world what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You can do that. If you haven't done that, you can do that. He invites you. So, amen. Brother, is it Jacob? Jason. Yes, let's worship Jesus together. Amen. And if you want God to just, before you leave this morning, you want God to fill you afresh. We're not going to take too much of your time. We understand you have spent time with your family today. And even as you leave, if you're interested to receive our newsletter we send out, there's a sign up at the back. You're welcome to do that and have family cards and stuff. And again, I thank you for your love and your commitment to pray for us and support us. You are part of it as well. Those stories and testimonies you heard, you're part of that. Amen. So yeah, if you need to come, if you want prayer for any reason, I want to invite you. If it just takes some moments and just come up, okay? If it's in your body, we'll pray for you also. Hallelujah. Make your life count. In the light of eternity. Make it count. Make it count. And also, as you come, those of you who are coming, I want to pray as a church. I want to pray for you for perseverance. I'll pray and then. Father, we love you. Father, I pray for this community of believers. I pray for this family, this church. Lord, I do. I pray. I believe you put that on my heart for a reason this morning. The promises, prophecies, words they've received, I pray that any of that has maybe have been forgotten or lay dormant, I pray it will come alive today. Lord Jesus, great and precious promises, eternal promises, I pray, Lord, that you would give accept that they would open their eyes today. Their eyes will be opened that there is grace that is sufficient. That the grace is available. That they will focus and to see that come to pass in their life. Amen. Lord Jesus, that they will be focused and they will persevere. That they will also be completely separate from the ways of the world. In Jesus' name, a completely different breed of people. That the world will not be worthy of us. Because we are so different and we are just God people and God's presence with us. May it be told of us and every one of us in this church that the world is not worthy of us. I pray that you will give grace. Even this morning as I pray, maybe if there's, I don't know, even if there is secret sin, I tell you it is time to just confess and let it come to the light and ask God to wash you and break its hold and chain in Jesus' name, so that you can, Jesus would be pleased and you can experience His love and you can run your race to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily clings to people. If you want them to experience that and you feel need to come forward, please come. Don't look, if Muslims raise their hands and want to surrender their life to Jesus in a mosque, I think you can do that in here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Precious promises in Jesus' name. Through faith, I bless you that through faith, you will continue to believe by persevering. That great faith, that centurion, and also that Canaanite woman, it's not because they accomplished these big things for God. It's because there were obstacles and they persevered. That's why Jesus called them great faith. Because there were many obstacles, not being a Jew, being not ready for them and other things. But they persevered and because of their faith. And He called them great faith. So perseverance, amen. Perseverance to your family. Perseverance where you are at living. I tell you, even at home, persevere, persevere. Persist, don't give up. Faith looks like persistence. In Jesus' name, may it be so. Hallelujah.